Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. All right, I'm here today with Joe Boras, CEO of TriStar Electric and Automation. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Home Building Hero. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be able to talk to you today and start this podcast.
Fantastic. Well, first of all, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself? What do you do, and kind of a little bit about your business and how you've gotten involved in this industry?
Sure, of course. It'd be my pleasure. So as David said, my name is Joe Boras, and my company is TriStar Electric and Automation, based here in Malibu, California. I'm originally a New York City electrical and lighting controls contractor. This is my 31st year in the industry, and it's kind of hard to believe when I look back on how many years it's been. And I've been very fortunate to spend a lot of that time in the luxury sector, luxury residential, hospitality, luxury retail. And my main focus now is to take that 31 years of experience in the crazy, you know, high-paced New York City construction world out to the luxury market of design and consulting for electrical, lighting, and technology for residential and for hospitality.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you one other kind of sub-question about this, because I think it's interesting. How different, you kind of hinted at it, how different was New York and dealing with that type of clientele versus out in California? Is there a huge difference you've noticed?
There is a huge difference. So there's a few things to know about the different coasts. You know, to the untrained eye, construction is just construction, but it's really not. So on the New York City typical construction world, it is very difficult to do business in that environment. And that's all I knew. That's all I grew up doing. So to me, that was what the normal, way to do business is, how to enter into commercial buildings, how to get into high-rise residential buildings, and the insurance and the elevator operator and the logistics of the hallways and how to bring material up and working hours and parking and tickets and
sounds like a nightmare.
All that kind of stuff, and getting deliveries and trying to get a space in the loading dock and trying to fight for space with the other trades and scheduling and everything is just very difficult. But again, if that's all you know, then that's all you know.
Yep.
But when I moved out to California and I started a division of my company out here after licensing and all that good stuff, because New York doesn't do any reciprocation. So when I got my license out in California 10 years ago, it was off to the races. So when I started getting into these environments, I thought I was going to have the same type of doing business, the same roadblocks. And what I found very quickly was just the opposite, which is such an interesting story. So I pull up to this building in Los Angeles. It was a high rise commercial building, and it was for a record company, and I was doing a tenant fit out for them. And I pulled up to the front, traffic circle. And I walked into the building and I introduced myself to the doorman. He goes, "Oh yes, we're expecting you. Please pull your truck down and any of your workers' trucks, pull into the loading dock. You'll see such and such down there. He'll tell you where to park. He'll take you up to the suite. And the superintendent will be there to open up the door for you guys. This is where the bathroom is." And
that's really nice. What a culture change, eh?
Right. I'm like, wait a minute. You thinking that I can actually pull up to your building, park the car, go up into the suite, and actually do our job?
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, this is unbelievable. This would be a 3-day process back in New York.
Yeah. It was like Christmas.
Oh my God. All of that stuff. So it was very, very interesting. And what was a really big mindset change for me when I started on a different coast is seeing such a big difference between, you know, the New York versus LA is, well, my mindset shifted really one day as an epiphany. I said, wait a second, all those years experience in New York isn't what I used to do. It was more about what prepared me for what I'm about to do. And once I had that mind, kind of shift, it was just excellent after that. And just work just kept coming in, the right kind of clients, and really adding value to every job. And I do things very different than most. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Perfect. Yeah, and we're going to really kind of dive into, you know, some of the technology and the automation things with homes in a little bit here. But you were also featured recently in Good Housekeeping. Tell me a little bit about that article and how has that kind of transformed your business?
Yeah, so that was really great. So, you know, I was asked from Good Housekeeping magazine to just kind of give a little bit of insight, you know, more on the direct-to-consumer homeowner, you know, reader to ask questions. So when they're doing a kitchen, you know, like what kind of trends are overlooked and, you know, what would be the best for me to recommend when you're remodeling your kitchen? So even though it's a small little item and it's not a big, you know, overall project, I thought that was a really nice little tidbit into someone else's life. So, you know, you think about a typical family, they have, you know, kids running around, they have a big island where they want to make breakfast for the family. And then around the counter space, you have a lot of, you know, power needed for your toaster, for your blender, for the microwave and such. So, you know, we recommended them using power receptacles that would be, you know, GFI protected that would go underneath the cabinets. So that way, when you don't have all the appliances out, it still gives you that kind of like clean, you know, maybe adult inspired look.
Sure.
For your kitchen, instead of it just having cords everywhere. So, you know, one of the things we recommend is to have the receptacles, you know, obviously properly located per code, but perhaps to be underneath the counter. So at least when in use, they're great. But when they're not in use, you really have a nice look. So you don't feel like your kitchen's a mess.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. Cool. Exactly. Well, that's neat. And sometimes it's those little things that people don't think of, right? You know, it's always easy to push the really expensive, flashy thing, but sometimes those simple things like that really, you can make the house better, the project better. And
right, right. A common denominator with that, because this lesson kind of goes throughout all of, you know, what I feel is important in this type of design. Don't just do things or have subcontractors do things just because that's always how they've been done. Doesn't necessarily mean it's right. So, you know, that's where really consulting with a professional is really where it's at, because you're going to leave yourself open to whether it's a new construction project, a new build or a remodel, most likely to whatever that subcontractor feels like doing, which may not be in line with what your expectations are.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. That's great advice. So, you know, as we were kind of talking about the technology, what I really want to drill into now is, you know, I want to learn kind of where you think the future of home technology is and where it's going to go for people, because that's changing so fast. It's hard to keep track of. So it is nice to have someone like you, an expert at this, to really kind of guide us along the way. So where do you think that's headed?
So what? Well, I think more wire. Everybody says wireless, but I really believe that that's not true. I think the pre-wire, which means wire installed prior to drywall construction, if it's a new build, is to really understand how the home is going to be used by the homeowner and their family. If it's going to be a future sell, if they're going to live this, if this is their forever house versus, you know, eventually selling it in a few years. And how into technology are they as a family in regards to the children's gaming needs? Where they do their homework? You know, utilizing software, which is free software from wireless access point manufacturers, to do what they call a heat map. And that's what your designer or your integrator would do for you to make sure that you have really good Wi-Fi coverage, not only inside the home, but outside the home. We all rely on Wi-Fi, right? So, you know, I personally believe in wiring televisions, not Wi-Fi for data. I just feel that wired is always better than wireless. So, you know,
and so the main reason, what is your main reason for that? I think I suspect why, but you can tell me.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously depending on the type of network that's being installed in your home, especially if it's not a new construction project and not like a robust system, you know, there's going to be a lot of noise on that Wi-Fi network with, you know, your kids' tablets, your laptops, anything, you know, sometimes the Ring doorbells and all that stuff that goes on to the Wi-Fi network. So when you have a hardwired connection to the actual network switch, it's just much more manageable to have a very high speed connection to that device. And how many times have you seen your TV when you're trying to go on to Netflix and it just says like connecting, and you see the little cogwheel going, and that will go away because the connection would actually be a physical connection from point A to point B, like it's plugged in as if it's your computer at work, you know?
No, that's a great point. And I think, you know, I've seen that. I'm fortunate at my home. I have my TV hardwired in, you know, and then I do have Wi-Fi, but we always connect to any streaming services, you know, through a hardwire. And seldom do we ever have any issues where it lags or pauses for a long time.
Exactly.
How annoying is that to be watching a movie or something, then every 10 minutes it's freezing up for 20 seconds, 100%. You know?
So especially when you're streaming, especially, you know, speaking to the homeowner in regards to their children's needs, because the kids are obviously everything now with schoolwork. I'm a dad as well, and everything's done through the computer now. So there's no homework handouts. That's all the thing in my generation. So, you know, everything's reliant on really good, you know, Wi-Fi connections, hardwired connections. Also, you know, it's not a bad idea if you're designing a desk in either a homework area for the room or a study area in your child's room to put a hardwired data connection there as well, because even though they'll get a good signal on Wi-Fi just to go on the internet for their homework, that would basically force them to sit down at the desk instead of doing homework in bed. You know what I mean?
Because yep, they have Wi-Fi. Good.
So to make
be
them
more
sit
productive,
down,
right?
Bed, I think that would be really, really productive. So with technology, I think obviously the network is really important. But, you know, when you get into smart home technology, that kind of steps it up a little bit in regards to, you know, having, you know, if your property has a passenger or a driveway gate or a front doorbell, how to access cameras throughout the perimeter of your home remotely. And what does that mean if there's, you know, cloud-based cameras, which means solely rely on the internet, or you have an NVR, which is a digital recorder on site that your cameras get managed on, and that connects to the internet. So it really depends on, you know, what the client's needs are. There's no right or wrong. It's just a matter of what is the anticipation of the client, what are their expectations, and how they're going to use the home, and how important is them with security, with networking, and any other smart devices that they want to know about. Maybe sprinklers can now get onto the system so they could turn on and off water if there's a drought. Like, a million things can come up.
Absolutely great.
So the technology is only getting bigger.
Yeah, one of the things we kind of talked about offline here was you're really big on the solution-based setup versus maybe a product-based. So, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but kind of tell me a little bit more about that. Why is it so important to really work with the customer and hit their needs versus just trying to throw them a package of something?
100%. So, you know, we kept having this kind of a roadblock, and everybody that I know in the industry is always product-based. So they just care about selling a product and then selling another product. And so I was really on these projects and I kept having the same frustration saying, why are they using this particular brand of lights, or what's with these receptacles, or anything regard to my electrical lighting and technology world? I didn't really understand it. And that's just because it was on the drawings, or that's what they just decided to go with, without really having the understanding and knowledge of why. So I opened up a showroom here in Malibu, which basically showcases a really high-end kind of environment and showroom where I'm able to bring clients in and designers in and architects in, and they can actually touch and feel and see everything in action, but in a really kind of high-end way. It doesn't look like it's a department store with the shelves where you can, like, you know, it's everything's installed and working. So when they're designing a home, or we're helping with the design, we're putting in the right parts for the right reasons, so the homeowner has the experience that they're anticipating. And so once you find out more about the project, about the homeowner, about their lifestyle, about, you know, the style of the home, the architecture of it, the interior design intent, and any of that stuff, that's when we then find out what products would be, and to meet those price points, would that work? I find that it's 99% of the time, it's just the other way. You know, they just design standard this, standard that, and the client doesn't know any better. And I see homes, you know, that are very expensive in person, and that are on the real estate websites that are, you know, very, I mean, I'm talking high end, you know, tens, 20, $30 million. And I see things in these photos or on site that are only, and they should go to, you know, a small little 2000 square foot spec home. And because they're not understanding the big picture here. And I think that undervalues those homes because of that, you know. So that's okay. Finding out what the solution is going to be, and then we'll match it with the right product, manufacturer, system, etc. And it's not, doesn't mean it's more expensive.
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean, I think that's really the way to go, and that's kind of where the market is kind of heading, where this has to be a little bit more tailored to their needs. So why do you think it is that maybe designers and builders are so adverse to
adding technology and implementing technology into their homes and their products?
So I think there's a couple of reasons. So one, I think that they don't understand it. So by not understanding something, they can't really, you know, take on ownership for something that they don't understand. And it's very possible that they just let the integrator or subcontractor or AV contractor that may or may not be brought in by the client to just lead the show. And that's really a mistake, because that individual may not know how that homeowner lives. Maybe the homeowner is really wealthy and they don't understand that person's lifestyle. So it's important to recognize that. So I think that the design teams just don't really understand it. So they kind of shy away from it. I believe they should embrace it, or, you know, partner with, you know, like-minded people like myself to help them through that process. So that way they could still get the end result and finishes and interiors that they want, but yet have technology incorporated in a proper way. And, you know, I go into too many homes where I see access points, for example, like right in the middle of a living room ceiling, like exposed with a big green light from Netgear or something like that. And I don't understand it, but that's just what the integrator is. And if you ask a designer on that particular job, oh, that's just how it goes. And that's just a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working on. I'm trying to do my
best. Lack of foresight and planning too, right? Yeah, you know, sometimes exactly. Just having those conversations early, you can solve some of those problems and make it a better product.
Well, I think I was thinking about this earlier today, and it's not related to electrical, but it's related to building in your world when you're doing custom homes, is most of the time you'll see HVAC outdoor condensers, maybe two or three typical per home, right outside the garage, right outside the side yard. And you're going to pull up in your car, you're going to see them all the time, you're going to see the fans, you're going to hear the condensers kick on, you may have your kids' room right there, and they're going to feel that vibration when that comes on. So what always, you know, kind of intrigues me about that is similar to your last question, is why? Why is it right there? Is there a setback issue? Is it a laziness issue? Is it just the HVAC contractor doing what's easier for them so they have less copper to run on the job? All of that kind of stuff. Because, you know, part of our vision too is when we do electrical panels and interior electrical panels versus exterior, where certain circuit breakers are located. So if there is a tripping breaker problem or something needs to be de-energized, the homeowners have to go outside with a flashlight down the driveway, open up some big contraption that they don't understand what a meter man is. And all that kind of stuff is what we kind of overlook by, you know, looking at everything kind of globally. So the HVAC thing was just a really good example to point out that the answer is just why. So it's good to question why. And if the HVAC contractor who you trust and say, listen, it has to be this way because of the way the ductwork size with the cooling and the amount of run and voltage drop and blah, 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 it has to be here, then you make a decision if that's worth it for you. But you could also ask, well, what if we moved it, you know, a little bit further in the setback or a pool equipment, or can we do it behind the garage? How would that affect the cooling and the pricing? And then you can make a decision if that's where you want them or not.
It's nice to have the options and control over, you know, how your house is put together. Exactly. No, that's good stuff. So I guess, you know, what are some tips that you can do to prepare and increase the value of your home? That's something you like to talk about all the time.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're going, so there's two ways to increase the value of the home, you know, and I believe it's not just about gadgets and technology. I think it's about, if you put the thought process in during the renovation or new construction on how to really think about things differently than a typical, you know, building set of drawings, the house is going to show so much nicer. And then in turn, it just works. And people may not realize why it works. And that's maybe why your realtor is going to be the one that has to be well-versed in why, you know, there's certain things. If you have, like, you know, docking drawers where you have your receptacles in there for your hairdryer for the master, because, you know, let's say the missus, you know, is usually going to want a really nice hair dryer setup, like really selling somebody on a lifestyle, or how great it's going to be to, you know, have certain bespoke, you know, style receptacles instead of standard, you know, Home Depot outlets. You know, there's a million different brands out there that all meet different price points that give you a higher end look. Or like I talked about with the Good Housekeeping art, to have things hidden so you don't have cord clutter, you know, different types of trim profiles for decorative lights, kind of a little behind the scene, little touches that will really show the home better, which I think will then increase it. And obviously, you know, if it's in a higher price point and you have the smart home environment, we have everything on you know, touch screens throughout the home, and, you know, different types of trimless speakers and high-end audio with certain manufacturers that could you know, give you that really good media family room sound with surround sound and color tuning lighting. I think having all the electrical panels, you know, either centrally located, the AV rack centrally located, have everything labeled properly and professionally with you know, either Brady or labels or Brother P-Touch labels. So it's all printed up and professional, maybe even having an Excel spreadsheet that goes along with the cell of the home. That's where everything nice. Is,
yep.
Like as-built and rise diagrams of piping and where you have extra conduits out to the pool area for Wi-Fi or for outdoor audio. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
No, but I love the suggestion about the marking things, because I know a lot of these guys come in and they slam in all this wire and all this stuff and then they leave, and then the guy that worked on the job is no longer there, you know,
yep.
Later when the job is finished and you don't know what's labeled. What.
Right.
You know, it's just sometimes slowing down and just labeling things and making it really clear to understand is, it's just such a huge thing and it's overlooked a lot in the industry. And
yep.
You know, it's
yep.
frustrating, especially for homeowners. So like, what is this mess? It just looks like a 100%. Mass nest of wires, you know?
100%. And I think that what's interesting is if you, let's say you became a realtor tomorrow and you went into a $2 million home, a $500,000 home, and a $10 million home, most likely the electrical work, the labeling, the quality of workmanship, the thought out process of where things are located would all probably be the same. And all in a disappointing manner. Just because you're in a really expensive home doesn't mean it's a better infrastructure wise, because yeah. The same contractors really do all those different price points. So correct. I think it all stems back to the beginning of the job, the scope of work, what's expected of the subcontractor, what's in their contract, what the designer and design team and architectural team and electrical engineers involved or not to be putting out there for the subs to know what is their responsibility. What is expected of them to meet their contract, how things are supported, how things are labeled, where are spares, you know, the brand manufacturers of the actual equipment, everything like that. Or else, because if you don't, you're just assuming that they're going to do a good job.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. That's a great point. So kind of dovetailing onto that, you know, we've got kind of that issue sometimes with the contractors, but how about the homeowners? What are some common mistakes that homeowners make with their homes that, you know, you can remedy just by having a conversation with you?
So a few things. So you have a little bit of a lifestyle nuances, like sounds simple and silly, but they can make their life a lot easier if it's not a full project. So if it's a full project, I want to talk to you about that second, but just say it's an existing home and he's like, hey, you know, how can we tweak this place out a little bit? You know, one of the things that are often overlooked is a motion light at the trash area, something so simple and so inexpensive. But when the husband's, you know, getting yelled at by his wife to go throw out the garbage, because it happens to me, he's out there at 10 o'clock at night when it doesn't really feel like it, he wants to be able to see what he's doing. So really good landscape lighting, lighting up those pathways, having a motion light by the garbage area, really important. So little nuances like that. I think USB outlets is another thing, because how many times do we all look for chargers everywhere?
I love those. So, those are, I put those in quite a few of our homes. I love those. They're one of my favorite ads.
It's so great. Especially in the main bedrooms, you know, the primary bedrooms, having enough receptacles on his and her sides of the bed are very important. You know, they usually just put one on each side, and then you have, you know, you might have, you know, an Amazon Alexa or alarm clock if you're old school, your phone charger, a table lamp. There's just not enough. So now you're talking about outlet strips. So really is to understand, you know, what we suggest. So when we work with a client, you know, we put a million things on the table. They don't have to do any of them. But I just feel really good that we're doing our job by educating to the best of our ability what we see in every single room of the home, from the entryway to, you know, the entire hallways, the bathrooms, the powder rooms, the kids' rooms, the hallways, the laundry room, everything, single thing in the whole house, entertaining spaces. And you could do all of it, none of it, but I feel good that at least you're aware of it. And, you know, I don't know how much you do in your own homes out there in regards to lighting controls, but that's very prevalent here in California. And a lot of people don't really know what lighting controls is. It's just a terminology, but they don't really know what it means. So I could just touch on that real quick.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we did one a podcast where we brought a lighting expert and she was talking about all the different technical settings of lighting. It was really cool. I was geeking out on that one. Yeah. We don't need to go to that level today, but you know, yeah, if you want to talk a little bit about...
So just real quick. So a very simple way to understand what a lighting control project entails is there's two ways to do it. So if it's a new home, brand new home, new wiring, we suggest having low voltage keypads, and there's a million different manufacturers that we represent, but the point of that is that you'll have a the terminology is a keypad instead of a light switch. They call it a keypad, and it's basically a multi-button keypad that would be engraved to turn on certain lights throughout that area or the entire home. And the wiring in the ceiling that goes to those lights go back to a central lighting control panel. So it's really remote dimming.
And that's so, like a low voltage wire, right? Like a Cat5.
That's correct. So that it's not a Cat5, but it's a control cable that would be integrated into your low voltage wiring plan. So what's great about that is the electrician would be wiring, let's say, you know, the down lights, the sconces, and the pendant light for that room back to the lighting control panel, which would be located in your equipment closet or the garage, let's say. And then the low voltage keypad, which would be daisy chained throughout the home for the other keypads on that same low voltage loop, would be engraved. So for example, in the entryway of your home, instead of having a typical four gang switch box, which you've all seen, where you have your exterior light, your foyer light, your hallway light, your living room light, maybe your stairs up and all that kind of in one big box, that's a lot of work for the electrician. He's got to bring the feed into there from the panel. Then he's got to tail out four times. You have a big box, your drywall has a big cutout. You may have to move some studs around if it can't fit in that particular framing bay. And it's a lot of work. So in order to do it with the low voltage wire, it's just going to be a single gang box with this low voltage cable that we just mentioned. And you would just have a three button keypad there. It would just say home, away, and exterior. That's it. And then through the programming, we're able to kind of, because the whole point is if you want to come in and create a scene, you don't need to have to come in and touch every single switch. That's like how it used to be done, right? And now things have changed with technology where you're able to just come in and press one button and that scene be whatever that scene may be. Does it mean you turn the stairs on? Do you mean it's just to get to the kitchen? That's all subjective to the fun part of how it works, but it's the same every time. And then, you know, through the phone app, you can always mess with the different controls. So that's just like a simple, really quick explanation of what that is. And it's very more detailed than obviously in depth, but
no, that's awesome. And, you know, now there's all the integration too, where, you know, it can check on where you live and it, depending on where the sun is during the day, a lot of these can now, the smart ones obviously automate and say, okay, you know, the sun's setting later in the day, so we're going to change the lighting just a little bit, or, you know, we're going to adjust the color of the lighting a little bit so you get more of a natural look in your house. I mean, 100%. It's amazing what's kind of coming down the pipeline with that regard. And
yep,
you need to have that system in place first for it to work.
They call that tunable white, and we have that here in our showroom that we represent a brand called Catcher, which is the Lutron product, and it's phenomenal, and it creates an environment and experience that is, once you see it and you experience it yourself, you're like, oh my God, why isn't every single light in the world like this? And in regards to also saving energy, you know, if you have motorized window treatments based on the time of day and your geographic location, there could be automatic schedules set to the shades where they go down, that protect your floor, your furniture, your artwork. You also cool down a space and create a mood as well, all automatically if you choose. And instead of having to rely on a button press, especially if you're away. So there are so many things that could be, you know, figured into the home when we design. And it's just a matter of what is important to the client and not. But as long as we show them what's available, then, you know, the rest is a home run.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I love that. And I think, you know, that's really where it's going. And we've talked to some other people about some of those features, which are great. And now with the smart technology, we're seeing that next level evolution of this where, yeah, you can literally have it, you know, run a program. And then, yeah, I think once we see AI hit more too, you know, it's really going to be interesting.
Yeah. So we have some, you know, voice activated intelligence that we demonstrate that ties into all that, because that's kind of the next step of where it's going. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, increasing the value of your home, if you have a home that has 60 windows and doors, just to pick out a number, you're planning on putting window treatments on all 60 of those. That's part of your interior design package. You're going to do that. Okay. So now let's see, what is the upcharge if we motorize these? And what are the advantages of motorizing them? Are they the same fabric families? Are we going to be happy with the aesthetic? And all this good stuff, is there framing involved? Are they surface mounted? Are they recessed? Is there a pocket? All this good stuff, right? And then the client can make that decision if the delta is worth it to them to spend the money. And if it's a palatable amount that they're going to want to spend, when they do end up flipping that home or selling that home later on, that's when the home will show look at how much thought and care they put into all the automatic. Oh my God, honey, that's amazing. Look at this. This is all done for us already. That's also things. So you not only did you increase the value of your home, but you also, you know, enjoyed an experience. It's not like you're putting in just a faucet that's gold. Water's going to come out the same. It's not going to change your life because it's gold. Yeah. But when you put in really good lighting, really good electric, well thought out systems, high end lighting, and motorized window treatments, you're enjoying it. You're having the best experience, especially with all the working from home post pandemic. The enjoyment of home has changed tremendously. It's not about just getting up, going to work, and coming home, going to sleep to get up, work again. People are enjoying their homes much, much more. So this is a really good time for this type of conversation.
Yeah, fantastic. I love that thought process. I've definitely seen a dramatic shift in the importance of the spaces in the home and how you utilize them since everyone spent so much more time at home, right?
Right. But this is the whole thing to take away from that is that if you're not going to put any window treatments in your home, that's fine. No problem. I'm not just saying, okay, we have to sell you window treatments, but you're planning on putting in window treatments. That's part of your scope of work. You're going to do it anyway. It's important for you to know the options, and you may do it or you may not do it. Or maybe just do the main suite, or maybe just do, your guest room when your mother-in-law comes over because she's a really light sleeper. That's okay. But it's important to know because a lot of times people, oh, we don't do that. It's too expensive, or we're not going to do lighting controls. But are you in understanding of what it's going to cost you to not do it?
Correct. If you have somebody that really wants it, they don't put it in right away. The cost to try and add it and rectify it later is tremendous. So.
Right. Or it has to maybe work on a radio frequency signal for RF, and that's not as reliable. So it's just important to know what the delta is, because what makes me crazy all the time when somebody tells me that something is too expensive, and then my next question is, well, how expensive is it? Oh, we don't know, but it's a lot. But what's a lot? It may only be $20 more. Let's look at it. And maybe there's money to be credited out of the original scope of work that's not being done prior to it being installed. And then you see what it is. Maybe it's nothing at all. Maybe it's less money.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. I love that thought process. And you definitely, I think, helped open people's eyes a little bit to some of the different things that they can do with their home to make it a better and more personalized experience and work more with the technology instead of against it. So, what's something maybe I didn't ask you that you think people should know about what you do?
Okay. So one of the things I think is really important and overlooked, I would say every time, not even 9 out of 10, every time, is proper planning prior to construction. It's the same common denominator that David has missed on every job, whether it's a commercial project, a retail project, a hospitality project, a luxury residential project, a rental property, a remodel. Don't just start construction. Don't just start building until there is a substantial amount of pre-construction meetings. So it could be understood what is going to be going into this job. So kind of like, everything that we were talking about earlier in the podcast is what is going to go into this home? What are important to us? What's the framing look like in regards to, what we need to fit into it? What size is everything? Maybe we should have a submittal process where we have all the cut sheets and everything. We do that with appliances, but it should be done with lighting and electrical and technology and understand the access points and where they're going. And don't just start throwing hammers around, because that's when the change order process starts happening. You become over budget. The schedule runs long, all because you just started getting excited to build. Let's go demo and everything.
You always racing against the clock when you're building, but yeah, no, it's good to stop first and
well, just before, leave. So during the permit process, really understand what is going to be built here, what are long lead times, what are the finishes, what is technology, going to be incorporated to this project. So just really before you start swinging hammers to get the scope of work down, and then when you go out to bid. And you should really be aware of having your design team write up the scope of work for your subcontractors. Don't ask your subcontractor to just bid a set of drawings, because they are not. So they're going to give you a price $60,000. And you're going to assume that they have everything. And then when they start working, oh, no, we didn't have the extra thing here. We didn't have that included. There was not enough information about the gate. And that's when it starts becoming like a little bit of a bad relationship. So I think if I was bidding a job for you, and you send me a set of drawings with an electrical scope of work, a low voltage scope of work, a technology scope of work, a landscape lighting scope of work, And it said how many fixtures, these are the brands, this is the wire runs, this is what we're expecting. And, you know, we helped, you know, develop those documents. When you get the price of $60,000, you know it has everything. And if it doesn't, there will be a space of how much more it is to do that one thing because they couldn't get a price on that material. The generator price didn't come back yet. Little things like that. So you're going into it with a true budget. So when you charge your client, it should really be one price.
Does I love that it. Sense? That's great stuff. So if people want to get more information about you or your company, where can they find that?
Sure. Just go to joeborest.com.
Okay. And we're going to add that into the show notes as well. So that way, if are listening and you want to find out that information, you can click the link right there and it'll jump right over. So Joe, thank you so much for all the information today. It's super informative. I learned a lot. I'm sure everybody else did as well. And I appreciate you having you on the show today.
Oh, I really appreciate your time. And it was great to talk about things we love.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.